Hello, bonjour, bienvenue, buenos dias. You are listening to Life's a Witch. And if it's been a minute, that's because life can also be a bitch. But we've returned, and I have two amazing guests with me, and they will... Actually, I'll introduce them, or maybe they'll introduce themselves. I don't know. I have Jessica, also known as the Mystic Mama. She is one of our managers at the shop, and she runs Three Crows Crossroads, and she is magical and amazing. And then we have Francisco, also known as the Wicked Witch of LA. LA, better watch out. He is a Mexican brujo, and he is... badass. So say hello.
Hello.
Hi.
There we go. So if you don't know who those voices are, it's Jessica and Francisco. And we are going to start. It's been a while, but I think we're going to talk about a much needed subject that needs to come to light, and that is cultural appropriation. Oh, snap.
It's going to get heated.
But I'm going to backpedal a little. Because now I just realized maybe you guys should introduce yourselves. So we'll start ladies first. So Francisco.
Oh, wow.
That's terrible. No. Wow. Now we're gonna have any comments about, like, I don't know, misogyny or something.
Yeah.
Not funny,
you know,
Dylan.
You impersonate that.
I know. Mm-hmm. No, I'm kidding. So Jessica.
Yes.
Tell us a little about yourself.
Hi, so I am a witch. Surprise, surprise.
What? We're done.
Heresy.
Pull the plug.
I work mostly with candle magic is one of my favorites.
Nice.
And herbs and oils, and that's my jam. I love working here at the shop doing the spell bar.
Yes.
And just learning all I can.
And you run your own business.
Yes. With my mama.
Yeah, Three Crows Crossroads.
And teaching my daughter the ways.
Mm-hmm. So. Ooh, that's right.
That's
awesome. Awesome. What sign are you?
I'm a Gemini.
Do you feel like a Gemini?
Hell no. But I am a double Capricorn, and I feel that matches me much better.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, Francisco.
That's me.
That's you.
Well, my name's Francisco. I'm 29 and single, in case anyone's wondering.
There we go.
I am also a witch. Surprise, surprise. Shocker. I practice brujería, which is Mexican traditional witchcraft. What else? Devotee of Santa Muerte. If anyone doesn't know, that translates to Holy Death. She's one of our folk saints in Mexico. And... I tend to forget what language I'm speaking, so I might throw in some Spanish accidentally because it happens.
I love it. What sign are you?
It depends what system you follow.
Oh, you know, well, we got, okay.
So the traditional American system, I'm a Sagittarius. But if you follow the 13th symbol, or the 13th system with Ophiuchus, I'm literally the cusp between Scorpio and Ophiuchus. I was literally born right between those two.
Do you believe in Ophiuchus?
I do.
Okay.
I do. And then if you want to go to traditional... like Maya, I'm a panther.
Say what?
That's a whole other thing. That's a whole other topic.
Now I want to know what I am.
I know. I want to know what I am.
Mayan astrology. So
yeah.
I think everyone has. I think it's three signs. So you have your number, your galactic tone, and then your being, which mine is the panther.
Nice.
Very nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'll see
that's
if I can do yours later on. Find out what you are.
Yay.
Yes. Okay, so this is kind of like the perfect, I think we have three people here. I think it's going to be a good chat when it comes to cultural appropriation. But I am going to start with you, Francisco, because I'm fascinated. Because, like, I feel like in the past year, there have been more books. Like, I don't know, something happened where someone, like, I will tell you, growing up, I've, like, heard of Santa Muerte, but it was very much like a, like, mm-hmm. ooh, hush, hush kind of thing. In the past year or two, there have been more books, statues,
mm-hmm.
oracle decks. Like, I feel like it's like, so much. And I can tell you that there's one published by a white chick. But my question is, how do you feel... Like, because obviously, you know, you are Mexican. This is your culture. So do you feel this, like, oh, my God, now she's getting love? Mm-hmm. Or do you get this flip side of, like, oh, my God? Because I will tell you as, like, well, actually, I'll let you answer that first. Like, what are your thoughts of all this attention of Santa Muerte? Because clearly it wasn't always this way.
No, it wasn't. I mean, so Santa Muerte has been around for a long time. I mean, you can go back, you can trace her indigenous history to the Aztecs, where there was a death goddess and god. And then before that, there was the Olmecs. So they also had their death deities. And it was very common in a lot of Mesoamerican traditions for death to be symbolized as a woman or a feminine energy. So her history goes a long way, but the image of Santa Muerte didn't really surface until, like, the 40s in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 70s was the first case of, like, a large altar being discovered. And I think you might have heard of, like, stories of, like, Santa Muerte being tied to, like, drug trafficking and crime in Mexico.
Yes.
So it's a common belief and a big misconception. The reason that is because during the 70s, there was a huge drug raid. I forgot what city in Mexico. But essentially, they break into this drug lord's home, and in his home, they find an altar to Santa Muerte, a really big one. So that was immediately like, oh, Santa Muerte, she's tied to, like, crime and drug lords and all these things. So that's where that comes from. But for the majority, mostly good things.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really blown up, especially in the last, I would say, even in the last 5 years?
Yeah.
Holy crap. Because I used to only see this in Mexico.
Right.
You know, when I was living in Tijuana, when I was living in Tecate, that's the only places I really saw them. Mm-hmm. In the U.S., I never saw them. And now, like you said, there's Oracle decks, there's tarot decks, there's, I mean, books and all this. And it's nice.
Right.
Because historically, when the Spaniards came, they attempted to completely destroy the history of the Aztecs and the Mayans. So seeing Santa Muerte resurface again, even though she's in a new form, it is nice because now it's like, okay, like, Mexico's getting some love.
Right.
But there's also this side that's also her being appropriated, people misusing her, people having all these misconceptions of Santa Muerte, or just practicing her devotion in a way that is against her culture, which is the biggest no-no.
Yes.
So there's a little bit of both sides to that.
And I will tell you, like, when you were talking about the drug trafficking and stuff too, like, I hate, like, Tumblr. But I like, always, like, so, but I go on there just to see, like, what are these people throwing up there? And, like, someone put Santa Muerte, and one of the things, very similar to, like, what they do with Papa Legba due to American mm-hmm. Horror Story, her offerings are, like, coke, cocaine, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. Someone even said there was a girl who was, like, one of her offerings are, like, empty syringe needles. And it's like, that to me is
that's
just so.
It is.
And I think it's pushing the dark. Like, people always try to push the extreme.
Well, and I think it's, again, the difference between cultural appropriation and a cultural appreciation. You're not appreciating it. You're not learning it. You're just going,
exactly.
I saw this, and I'm going to just start doing it. Mm-hmm. Did you read about her? Did you look up at her? Did you meditate on her? Did you do any of that? No, mm-hmm. then you're not appreciating her, you're appropriating her.
Exactly. And plus, when you're doing things like, because I know what you're talking about with, like, people giving her drugs as offering, you're literally feeding into the stereotype that Mexicans are drug dealers.
Yep.
Precisely.
You are feeding into that. And even if that's not your intent, you are doing that.
Yep.
Right. Now, I do want to, I think this is going to go to, well, maybe we'll ask this question later. I'm like, do I ask it now? But I will tell you the flip side. So, like, this is not necessarily a cultural thing, but I will tell you, like, Hecate. There's so many ways of saying her name. But I will tell you, too, like, in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
she was such a, I would say, like, everything was Wicca. Wicca mm-hmm. was accepted in the 90s, and Hecate was a dark goddess. She was kind of like a no-no. She wasn't in a lot of books. You don't see her. Now something has happened, and I loved her, and I remember people would be like, oh, you work with dark energy because you work with Hecate. Or some people were like, I don't say her name, or whatever the case may be. Now something has happened where they have taken, now Hecate is everyone and their mother knows her. She's in Sabrina. She is the Triple Moon. She is this. She is that. She's loved. She's my girl. And things like that. And what's funny is that, like, I have never seen... I don't... Like, when you read about her...
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, she's, like, the goddess of witchcraft, which she is. But it's, like, I see a lot of people using her for every single thing. And it's like, to me, Hecate is very specific in her attributes.
Yes.
So when I see these girls being like, oh, I'm going to use her for a love spell, bitch,
don't.
Like, you know, she is the goddess of, you know, vengeful love and control and manipulation. Yeah. And that is her force. And I think a lot of things, too, you know, yes, she's a dark goddess, but there's so much lore about her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's one of the things. So I think, like, every witch is like, oh, I'm going to work with her without doing the work and the research.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, they just see the mother of the crone, or the maiden, the mother of the crone. And
right.
They're just like, oh, she's so cute and so sweet, and she's all the feminine sides.
Yes.
But she's also a badass warrior bitch. Like,
yeah.
And that's where she really comes from.
Yeah.
She's a vengeance. Like,
yes.
She is.
Absolutely.
You need somebody to hold your back right now because you need to get work done.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. And I think another thing, too, like, I always think of, like, this one myth, and this was one of the first myths that I read about her. So she's a titan. So she's
mm-hmm.
Oji. She's a primordial deity. But when Zeus overthrew the titans, she betrayed the titans, and she was like, yo, Zeus, I'm going to do what I need to do to get what I want. And Zeus was like, okay, you have the power of land, sea, heaven, and hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is such a, you know, she's not just the goddess of the underworld. She's not just the goddess of this. She's a goddess of land. Mm-hmm. Like, she really is a all-encompassing
mm-hmm.
goddess. But I think one of the things that I see in terms of what you were saying is that, especially when I look at Santa Muerta, I think there is this, like, very hush-hush. She's kind of, like,
mm-hmm.
used by those that know about her, and now I think she's become very mainstream. So I think for you, it's like, when it comes to Santa Muerta specifically, do you love how mainstream she is? Or working with her, like, what do you think she thinks? Like, does
mm-hmm.
she love the attention? Or do you feel that there is a... Do you think that she is in culture right now? Do you think that she is portrayed the way that she actually is?
Mm-hmm. For the most part, yes.
Okay.
I'm
going to
say for the most part. But that's mostly because the majority of her devotion is still in Mexico. It's
mm-hmm.
only started to tread in the U.S. recently.
Right.
So a lot of people in the U.S. are still learning about Santa Muerte. And, you know, there's books. There's one book if anyone really wants to know about Santa Muerte... And you want indigenous history, you want witchcraft in there, you want to learn, like, you really want to know her, read a book called La Santa Muerte by Tomás Prower.
Okay.
It is one of the best books on Santa Muerte right now. I highly recommend it. It really does her justice,
okay.
talking about her history. And that's something that is lacking with her devotion, or people learning about her devotion in the U.S. is... People hear that Santa Muerte is a giver, that she gives, gives, and gives, and they want to honor her, but they're like, well, we don't want to learn about her history. Well, we don't want to learn Spanish. We'll call her Holy Death, not Santa Muerte. So they start taking away, little by little,
mm-hmm.
the Mexican side, the
mm-hmm.
Spanish words. They start taking these away and Americanizing her, and that's when you really start appropriating. That's when you start
mm-hmm.
to literally... slice off her culture and make her into your own thing, which is not what you do with her. That's a big no-no.
And I think that's a big... And you hit the nail on the head not wanting to learn the history.
Mm-hmm.
I see that with deities, and I see that with witchcraft itself.
Just in general.
You know? And, you know, for someone who practices traditional witchcraft, it is the folk ways. If you don't know about the folk... How are you going to know about witchcraft,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think that is something that, you know, Jessica, who's known me for a long time, she knows I'm a history nerd.
Yes.
But I will tell you, it has served me in my practice.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It has served me. And, like, when we do herbs and stuff, like, there have been times where I'm like, oh, well, historically, they would use this.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, like, oh, you have to do every single thing because... You know, we're reviving these practices.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, too, I think you can honor them. And, you know, I think with Santa Muerte, it's like
I think, yeah, if I'm like, you know, I feel bad pronouncing her name, I'm just going to call her Holy Death. Well, then is she really Santa Muerte then? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? She's an Americanized version, maybe. But mm-hmm. it's like, if I don't acknowledge that she's Mexican, if I don't acknowledge her history, then I'm mm-hmm. really just kind of whitewashing this spirit.
Well, and I think in the end, it also affects your practice. Absolutely. If you're not learning, how exactly. can you use that at the degree that should be used because you don't know anything about it?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Exactly. And one of the biggest things, and this ties into what you just said, is one of the biggest offerings you can give Santa Muerte is time. Mm-hmm. And you can literally apply that to literally any deity you're working with. The time to research, the time to invest. That's an offering. People don't realize that. And exactly. when the spirits see that you're investing time that you will never get back, I can get money back from offerings I spent. I will never get my time back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they see that level of devotion, and that really builds a relationship. Steps and it back. Really catches the spirit's attention.
Absolutely. Jessica, how many times have you heard me when yes. people are like, what is an offering I can give a deity? Read their myth.
Yep.
Learn Look at them. Art. Learn about them. That is an offering.
And it's a more bountiful offering to them than rum or sugar or mm-hmm. herbs or any of that.
And especially if you look at, and I will say, like, if you've ever seen, like, American Gods mm-hmm. or, like, they mention it in Coco, they mention more with ancestors, but it's like mm-hmm. when you are, the ancient Egyptians believed in immortality, but in a very base way that makes sense. Immortality is done by speaking a person's name.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So these deities are worshipped, or not worshipped, but they thrive because their names are still there.
Right.
You mm-hmm. know? So they have these, like, honestly, I think the biggest, like, actually one of my anthropology teachers taught me this. What is the biggest honor that you can have? The fucking planet named of them. Mercury will always be around causing his shit because he's got a fucking planet named after mm-hmm. him. So it's like, and what's funny is that you actually see a lot of, you'll look at a lot of mythology, and a lot of it has survived in pop culture, and you see yes. a lot of its names and stuff like that. So it's like, I think if you're there and you want to work with a deity, what's the best way I can work with a spirit or get to know a spirit? Read about them.
Exactly.
Read their myths. And there are so many different myths and lore and practices, you know. So I think that that's very interesting. And one of the things, too, is like, you know, like you have a statue of Hecate. She's yes. portrayed as a maiden mother crone.
Yes.
Okay. That is a one version of Hecate. Mm-hmm. There are other versions of Hecate. Mm-hmm. That one is very wicked and more modern, but it's still a representation of her.
Right.
And I think a lot of people have this, like, you know, I have a statue of Hecate. It's an ancient Roman replica. And, you know, she's all the same age because that is her OG status. And I can't tell you how many Wiccans have come in and been like, that's wrong.
Right.
You know, she's not mm-hmm. pregnant. And one of them was like, that's yeah. a OG.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't she come at me.
Your three
sides.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of that. Now, I do want to ask you, and then we'll get further into this. So being Mexican, knowing that Santa Muerte is Mexican and her heritage and everything like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, or what are your thoughts on Susie from, you know, the valley,
mm-hmm.
blonde hair, blue eyes, working with Santa Muerte.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that can happen?
Yes, it really can, because if you look at who Santa Muerte is, well, she's death. Mm-hmm. She is death itself, and that's something we're all going to come to terms with one day. If you work with necromancy, if you work with any tools that come from the dead, like bones, anything like that, you are immediately within her realm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very okay. And it's very okay to work with Santa Muerte, even if you're Susie or Barbara with the blonde hair, you know, because you can acknowledge and honor Santa Muerte, who she is. But there needs to be a reason with Santa Muerte, because Santa Muerte is serious business.
Yes.
Her devotion is serious. And if you really look into the majority of the people that do work with her, it's queer folk. You see a lot of transgender people in Mexico running to Santa Muerte because they can find safety in her. You see a lot of people of color, marginalized people that are going through poverty, because Santa Muerte provides for the people. So if you're Susie with the blue eyes, blonde hair, you live in the valley, and mommy and daddy buy you everything, do you have a need to work with Santa Muerte? Well, I have if you're already so privileged.
Another side. So Suenta Muerte also, death is non-discriminating. So
exactly.
That's also why you would work with her.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Because her bones don't have color.
Right.
Nobody's
Snap. Yeah. Nobody's exactly. Dues.
Dues?
Nobody's dues. Yeah.
Nobody's dues.
Anybody can work with her. I don't care where you are in the world. But just know that if you are someone who is very privileged and you're going to someone to ask for more money, more car, she's going to look at you and be like, you don't need that.
Right.
I'm going to go help this person who's struggling over here, and mm-hmm. you can just honor me, and I'll take care of you. Mm-hmm. Just honor me.
That's awesome. And I do think it's like, I will tell you, because like I see this in smoke shops and tattoo shops, like I feel like Santa Muerte has had a... Mm-hmm.
I think it's because of Penny Dreadful.
I was just going to say. That which made I will
it
say,
big. It was a good movie.
It was good. He's never seen it.
I haven't seen
it
yet.
I would love. I would love.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a picture of her, the actress that plays her, and I thought she looked beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. And we're going to do a part two. The part two after you watch it. You got to binge it.
But I think that might be a huge reason why she's become so popular mm-hmm. is
yes.
they showed her in this light of being a badass.
And yeah.
Like, yeah, I want that behind me.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to know your opinions on how they portrayed her.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now I know what to do. Too. I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
And it's like, but I also think, too, it's like when you look at Santa Muerte, it's like I think a lot of people love the aesthetic of the Grim Reaper.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Or, you know, this female skeleton woman, things like that. And I think this is where, and we talked earlier before we recorded about how, like, you have these people who are very, they love this dark aesthetic or whatever, but the moment they're hit with the reality, then they get scared.
Yes.
And
oh, yeah.
Like, have you seen a lot of people using Santa Muerte as an aesthetic but not necessarily working with her?
Oh, yes. So, so much. And it's either they're using it as an aesthetic, which is, please don't do that. Don't use her as an aesthetic.
See, that's when I think, and that's when I think it's cultural appropriation.
Exactly.
If you're working with her, you're not appropriating a culture. You're appreciating the culture.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing the research, if you're doing the work, if you're going to her because you truly feel a calling to her. But, like, that's like me. It's kind of like, I almost feel this way. And I know they kind of do it to themselves, but it's like in New Orleans when people kind of go and buy something from, like, they're like, oh, I'm going to buy this, like, you know, voodoo, whatever, charm because I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I do get that. But then I also think it's, like, in other places, like, when I look on Redbubble or things like that, or Tea Republic, and they have, like, Santa Muerte, and it's like, you know, it's like, are you buying that because you work with her, or are you buying that just because it's a badass?
Cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing.
And, you know, a lot of people get scared when they do decide to start working with her because mm-hmm. they're like, oh, she's so cool and aesthetic. And then their dog passes away.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just
and
happening.
Some family member passes away. Not because they work with someone, but because that's what happens. We
right.
pass away. And then they're like, well, Santa Muerte, why would you do that? He's like, because I'm deaf.
Right.
That's
and
not.
That's, this is what I do is I yeah. take people from the earth and I cross them over safely to the next
yeah.
realm. And then people are like, well, why would you? And it's like, hello, Santa Muerte, holy death. You're working with the literal embodiment of death.
Right.
And
yeah.
when you devote yourself to her, you literally invite death into your home. You might want to think twice before you do that. And a lot
right.
of people don't realize that her devotion is very intense. It's a lot of work, and people aren't ready for that.
Right.
Absolutely. And so now I'm going to cross over to, you know, other types of magic and witchcraft. And I think this is where we, you know, discussing on expanding on the concepts of cultural appropriation. And I think I want to talk about like hoodoo and mm-hmm. folk magic and southern magic and things
southern
like that and southern conjure, because I feel like more and more there is a word that I hate, closed practices.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something very awesome, Jessica. What were you saying about...
You can't have a closed practice because it's a practice. There are closed religions, which is using witchcraft and hoodoo and voodoo. But it's a religion. It is not a practice.
Right. Precisely. And I think that's where you have to take a look at. And that's where you have to kind of focus on. And I've been thinking about this a lot because look at Judaism. Okay? Like, clearly, someone cannot practice Hanukkah or do something because they are not Jewish. you know? And then the thing about Judaism is that, like, it goes a step further, because not only is it a culture, mm-hmm. and not only is it, you know, that it is part of people's, you know, ethnicity, then it is also the religion, mm-hmm. you know? And you have these things where it's like you have to convert to Judaism in order to practice these things, okay? When you get to folk practices, when you get to magic, that is where I think these practices, this idea of a closed practice, if you were to Google what is a closed practice, there is no list that's going to tell you what a closed practice is. And I will tell you, what you think you're going to find is not what you're going to find. Buddhism is a religion, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So yes, absolutely. If you start incorporating all this Buddhist stuff into your daily life, but then you also follow different tenets and you do other things like that, honestly, and you don't do the appropriate research, I think that verges on cultural appropriation.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, and I think that's one of the biggest ones.
Oh, like, yes. Everybody absolutely.
And, has and a Buddhist statue. And
yes.
Do you know the story of Buddha?
Do you know Or that there are two.
Yes.
So there are two different Buddhas. There is.
There's actually statues for different ones.
Precisely.
So there's a Buddha for traveling. There's a Buddha for prosperity. There's a Buddha for health and...
Yeah.
Wellness.
And then there's the Big Buddha and Skinny Buddha. Yes. I think Skinny Buddha is the deity. Big Buddha was actually a person.
Yeah, the actual person.
I believe so.
So, like, things like that. And I will say that, and Jessica knows because she was part of the construction of this shop. When we came in, one of the things that I said was, this is a witchcraft shop. This is where we practice different aspects of magic. We are not a metaphysical shop, in the sense that, you know, most metaphysical shops do have books of Buddhism. They cater to everything. They have things of Buddhism. And I'm very much practice what you preach. Mm-hmm. I do not know about Eastern traditions enough to have that represented in this shop.
Yep.
And I will say, you know, I can't tell you how many, like, a lot of people love Asian culture,
yes.
you know, as the aesthetic. That's awesome. But they have the Chinese dragons. They have, oh my God, who's another goddess? Kuan Yin is another goddess that has just blown up recently.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, if you just like Kuan Yin and you want your Kuan Yin statue and you have a million Ganesh and you have all these things, but you don't know who they are, that is cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I think dressing now, well, I'll ask you this. So you have Susie from
the Valley.
From the Valley. Okay. Now, if Susie dresses up as Santa Muerte for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Does that verge on cultural appropriation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I would say so, too. And
I do have, like, a thing with this, though, because there was recently a little girl that wanted to dress up as, I believe it was Jasmine.
Yeah.
And she was Susie from the Valley. I think there's, like, a limit, though. Like,
because
when you're a little kid, we're completely innocent to it.
Absolutely.
We just see Jasmine as being a badass princess that I want to be.
Yes.
And I don't think she should get...
Destroyed
like, because she found this princess that she loves and she appreciates as a child, because you have no sense of appreciation.
Exactly.
Oh, I agree.
100%.
And I saw that recently too, because one of my friends, she went to the Mickey's Halloween party in Florida, mm-hmm. and her 4-year-old daughter loves Tiana. She's white. She loves Tiana. She dresses up as Tiana.
My daughter had Tiana's dress, loves it, wears it. Wore it everywhere when she was
and
up.
And the fact to me, it's like the fact that you can look at that and you can be like, I love this and I love her. I don't see a problem with that.
Well, especially
just like a little black girl dressing up as Cinderella.
Color. They see
people's, you know. So I I definitely am okay with that.
Now, Susie, when you're in the Valley and now you're 18, you know.
Yes. You know better.
Yes.
I mean, and it's funny because, like, you know, during Halloween, there's Grim Reaper costumes galore.
Right.
And so one thing is dressing up like Grim Reaper, and one thing is like dressing up like Santa Muerte, and then you can go to a party, I'm drunk and stupid.
Right.
Precisely.
You know, it's like, don't do that.
And it's kind of like, you know, I don't know if you saw, I think it was 3 years ago when Heidi Klum dressed up as Kali. Did you see that?
Oh,
she was all blue with the arms and whatever. Amazing costume.
Correct.
Like, let me tell you, phenomenal. But if there's any, like, Hinduism and all that, these practices are alive. This religion mm-hmm. is alive and thriving. Right. And, you know, people will be like, okay, well, if I dress up as Ra or if I dress up as Odin, you know, is that cultural appropriation? I was like, and this is where I will, there is a difference. Because these pagan religions are being revived. Right. Mm-hmm. They're revived by pagans. Hinduism, Buddhism, those have never died. Yeah. You know, those have been strong all along. And the other thing too, and this I will tell you, and I'm like, I don't think 40 minutes has enough time to really grasp the concept of
part two.
Cultural. Yeah, there'll have to be part two. Because now that I think of it, it's like, there's so much. It's like, you know, I don't know if you've been here, but we've been here, like, we have an Egyptian statue section. And they're like, oh, well, that's cultural appropriation. And I was like, you know, how? First of all, being someone who's been to Egypt and learned about Egypt, it's like, okay, the majority of people who live in Egypt are Muslim. Okay, we don't have, there's no real surviving ancient Egyptian DNA. And the Egyptians were taken over by the Greeks and the Romans. Yes. And those deities were spread to Europe. We have statues of Isis in Europe. Mm-hmm. So those were synchronized. So I don't think you are appropriating a culture that really is dead or revived. Exactly. You know?
Well, not only that, all of their statuary, you can then go to Greek and Roman and Celtic counterparts and find the same exact things. Deity just in a revived version of them.
Precisely.
All of our deities, if you look at them, no matter what culture you're looking at it through, they're all there.
Yes.
Egypt has one. Celtic lore has one. Norse lore has one. It's all the same, just different pictures of them.
Precisely. Yeah. And my mom said something at an early age, and I was like, props to you, Mom. And it's like, all gods are one God. Yes. Same God, different names.
Mm-hmm.
And that has stuck with me mm-hmm. because you see it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And especially it's like, I think when you look at cultural appropriation, you also have to look at synchronicity. Because if you look at synchronicity historically, it is there.
Yeah.
Especially when you look at Europe and the Mediterranean, you have the Romans that took from the Greeks, that took from the Egyptians, mm-hmm. that came all the way over to Europe. Mm-hmm. You have that, you know?
And then Christianity took it and changed it into saints.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have, like, when it comes to voodoo, you know, mm-hmm. you have these African spirits
mm-hmm.
that were also synchronized with Catholic saints.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you have it in the Spanish, you have it in Cuba. So, like, I grew up learning about Santeria, mm-hmm. you know, because my father is Cuban. So I grew up with those things. And I think that, one, there are a lot of gatekeepers. Yes. That's going to be part two of our podcast. Yeah. I already know. Gatekeeping. And it's sad because, Sage, you know, I can't tell you how many people, if you, like, I never use hashtag Sage, but there are people, people have confessed that they will bookmark the tag, the hashtag Sage. And if some white person is using Sage, they will explode on
mm-hmm.
them. And I will tell you, and Francisco and Jessica, we will all say, witchcraft is bio-regional, okay? Yeah. Let's pretend that we didn't have the internet, okay? Francisco, Jessica, and I live in California,
mm-hmm.
okay? What would be our main herb for cleansing?
I think it's sage.
I think so.
Right. So to say that we can't do it because, and I think historically what people need to know is that it is not, first of all, you cannot appropriate an herb.
Right.
Plants belong to no one.
Right.
They belong to themselves. Okay? And one of the things too, it is not sage that is culturally appropriated. It is when people say the word smudge or they say that they are going to cleanse using a Native American tradition.
Yeah.
Yes.
Native Americans have their own cleansing ritual.
Yes.
Exactly.
But spiritual fumigation, which is my favorite word that I use, that mm-hmm. has been used by every culture around the world forever.
Right. Exactly.
Everyone has burned herbs. And if we are bioregional, if we did not have internet, if we were here in the 1800s and we were doing spiritual fumigation, we would be using sage.
Yeah. Plus, there's a million types of sage out there. Like, you don't have to use white sage. Because
there's blue sage.
There's
black sage.
Purple sage. There's gold sage. Pineapple sage. I mean,
like, there's so many different things. And I think a lot of people just see that, like, oh, sage, go.
Now, sage has been overused by everybody.
Yes.
And we should be very conscious of what we're doing.
Exactly.
Because there's a ton of other herbs you can use.
So many.
Cedar is one of my favorites.
I love
it.
Oh,
yum.
It's also protecting on
top
of it.
Yeah, juniper smells really good, too.
Mm-hmm. Rosemary.
Yes.
These are all great cleansing and protecting herbs. But, and I think that's where we should be focused on the sage, is, like, that we're not killing it.
Yeah.
Because we are. We're overusing it and killing it.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yes.
Yes.
It's an option.
Exactly.
It's an option. Now, I will say, if there is one, if there's something that I do think is overused that I'm just like, I don't use it, but I do, if there's one that not appropriated, but I will say has been commercialized more, is Palo Santo.
Yes.
Yes.
Especially since Palo Santo really only grows in some aspect of South America.
Yes.
You know? So it's like, okay, sage grows California, it grows all these places.
All over the place.
You know? But I do think Palo Santo is one of those ones that it's like,
I think that would be more of appropriation.
Exactly.
Maybe you're taking it from another culture that
precisely.
It's specifically grown in mm-hmm. only a certain area.
Yes.
They would have been the only ones to use it.
Well, and not just that, is that people will buy Palo Santo and let's say they buy it from some medical physical shop run by Susie in the Valley.
Right?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, use this for cleansing. Where if you go to the country, Palo Santo was used in a lot of parts of South America, was used for as a blessing, an offering.
See? And I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Same with like white sage, where Susie in the Valley will say, you can't use that because it's spiritual bleach. Where I'm from in Mexico, we use it as medicine. We literally call it medicina.
Yeah.
We use it to heal. We use it to bless people. We use it as an offering.
Yes.
Yeah. And see, that's what I was taught. I was always taught that it was spiritual bleach, that it cleansed and that it got away and you had to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
You had to burn it in conjunction with something else.
Yes.
To save it. And I think that's why, well, I think another thing, too, is that if you look at Native American ceremony,
mm-hmm.
they always burn it with sweetgrass.
Exactly.
Yes.
They're
yes.
never burning.
They bring it together.
I love sweetgrass. So I think there's that. And it's like, you know, Palo Santo is called the holy wood.
Yes.
You know, it's sacred to them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not, like, I get it, but I think that's some TikTok bullshit,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's like, once again, if you are not going to practice South American magic or mysticism or learn about their culture,
yeah.
you're only going to burn one stick of Palo Santo yeah. a day. It's like, why are you doing it?
Exactly.
Burn something
and
else.
Plus, when you look at these cultures and let's say you're doing a research and you see, okay, well, these people in South America, this person in Mexico considers white sage a divine spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we respect the spirit. We venerate the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If you yourself are not ready to see sage in that light as a divine spirit, you're not going to respect or you're not going to give it the veneration it deserves. And if you're not ready for that, then don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
I think that can also be used for every herb because every
yeah.
herb is a spirit.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's why they are given these properties. Because
exactly.
that is the spirit that they are embodying.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Know your
oh,
herb.
Oh, girl, you're bringing up that subject. You know, every herb has a spirit.
Yes.
Exactly.
Every herb has associations.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are done by culture and region.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And every herb is different to someone else. But it's still that spirit of the herb. Okay. This is why I can't do the intuitive witch bullshit. Because you cannot make a square a circle.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I see a lot of people, Jessica and I have witnessed firsthand people going to the spell bar being like, I don't need to know the associations of herbs. I use them
choose.
Intuitively. I'm just going to choose. If you don't know the lore or the history or the magic of that herb or the spirit of that herb,
mm-hmm.
why?
Right.
you know? And that is something that has always bothered me. And, like, you know, we're very diligent. We put up our, like, you look at our spell bar and it says what it's used for.
Yeah.
Okay? And people will be like, no, I'm just going to, like, use this herb. And it just drives me crazy mm-hmm. because then that is not, I'm not saying you cannot use your intuition in witchcraft.
Right.
But there is a knowledge that is required in exactly. witchcraft.
But also, like, again, it's a spirit. We're all energy. Herbs are energy. Herbs put in the energy that they're given, that they're allotted to. Mm-hmm. That's like me going up to Dylan and saying, no, I'm sorry, honey, you're not gay.
Right.
I've taken that away from you.
Oh, yeah.
Intuitively, you're not.
Exactly.
That's not okay. You wouldn't do it to a person. Don't do it to something that you are working with.
Yeah.
You are working with the herb. You're not choosing the herb to be what you want it to be. You're working with that spirit of that herb.
Well, that's like me also saying, Jessica, I know your name is Jessica, but you give me Paulette vibes.
Right?
I've now decided to call you Paulette.
Oh, and that attitude is blowing up. And there's like this weird thing going on where people think that because they call themselves witch doesn't mean they're a witch.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you call yourself a witch doesn't give you the right to take anything from any culture and make it your own just because you're a witch.
Right. Yes.
If the reason is, well, I'm a witch and I have access to everything, then you're wrong.
Right.
Yes.
That's not right.
And I've been accused, like, someone came at me once and was like, they're like, you know, I feel like you shit on people who create their own spells and who are intuitive and all this stuff. And I was like, I create my own spells. I have no problem creating my own spells. But here's what I have a problem with. When people refuse to look at other people's spells, look at the history, look at the herbs, and then they just create their shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, you know, as a witch, how many fiction books have we read where they don't do the research and things don't exist, mm-hmm. you know? You also have to, once again, bioregionalism. Like, let's pretend that people didn't have access to these herbs or whatever. And it's like, so many people are like, okay, you have to do this and you have to do that and this is my spell and I created it. And it's like, what is your basis behind it?
Right.
Why are you incorporating Hecate into this spell? Mm-hmm. Are you doing it just because she's a goddess of witchcraft? Or are you doing it because you feel that she can serve you in this? It's like, you know, to me, it's well, I think there is sentiment that can be used for love. I'm not familiar with her. But it's like, what would you say is the most random thing that someone would incorporate sentiment for?
Oh, well, where do I start?
Okay.
Give me a topic. I mean, here's the thing with Santa Muerte is, like, I've seen some people, like, do really stupid things like, Santa Muerte, I want more prosperity in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. You can ask Santa Muerte for prosperity. Yes, she can do that. But it's someone, like I mentioned earlier, it's somebody who has a 3-story house, they have 6 cars, they're already bougie, and it's like, why are you asking Santa Muerte
like,
for...
a deity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's an issue is... A lot of people are seeing deities, especially deities that's not from their culture, and they think, oh, yes, they are here to serve me. If I give them an offering,
right.
They're here to serve me. And it's like, no, deities, especially from cultures that aren't yours, are not your vending machines.
Exactly.
Precisely. Oh, thank you. And I think another thing, too, this is, oh, my God, there's so many other topics that we have to expand on.
Part three.
I will say this, too. There is a misconception. So, one, a witch... One of the reasons why witches are so scary is because of the concept of hubris.
Mm-hmm.
Because witches have their own divine power.
Yes.
There are a lot of witches that feel that they need to work with deities or they need to ask deities. And there's a difference between working with a deity and asking a deity for something.
Exactly.
And I think that you can do your witchcraft without working with deities.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to ask a deity every time I do a money candle
right.
or every time I do something because I have the power.
Oh, yeah.
I am the witch. A lot of witches now conflate paganism or the idea of working with deities with spells.
Right.
Yes.
And I don't think it always has to be the same.
Exactly.
You don't need to use a deity in every spell
mm-hmm.
because that it's just a different it's not always the same. And I see that too, the deity vending machine.
Yeah. You know? You stick a quarter
it's
in
like,
and you think you get whatever
there
you want.
We go.
Make one of those
a deity vending machine.
Different ones.
Like
and it just
statues.
Comes out.
Oh my God. I can already see like an Aphrodite one.
Right?
But like you put it and a little pink Hershey kiss comes out Or what is it? The dove hearts?
Oh, yeah, the dove hearts.
Chocolate dove hearts with the fortunes. We're going to sell that in the store.
Yeah, time to make it. Yeah. Yeah, no one steal that idea. We'll find you.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
But what you're saying is so freaking accurate. I mean, and that's a lesson I learned the hard way where I would ask Santa Muerte for something, and she'd be like, no, you have two arms, you have two legs, you're able-bodied, you want absolutely. More money, get to work.
Yeah.
Because you're a witch.
Well, I think that's the other part of it. Yeah. People just want to come in and make me this spell so I can make money sitting on my ass. That's not how spell work works.
No.
Like, you got to put the work in.
Yes.
Like, it's just to help and give us that energetical boost.
And I think that can stem from people who don't really have confidence in their craft.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which happens a lot. I mean, I will say one thing that I've learned practicing brujería, one of the things that one of my teachers taught me a long time ago, is that whenever you're going to say, like, so mote it be, before you say that, by my own divine right, by my own divine power. Because some people say, you know, like Christians, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're doing it in their name. No, use your own name in that because you are divine. Your literal anatomical biology is made up of the same chemical compositions as stars.
Stars! Yeah. We are stardust.
That we venerate.
We are celestial.
So why can't you call upon your own divine power, your divine rights to make magic happen.
Absolutely.
Do that. That's what I do with my spells. By my own divine right, I am prosperous and my spell is good and true.
Absolutely. Yes. And I will say this too, going off of that, it's like, just to, a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, Christians and Catholics were the only one afraid of witches. No, the Romans and Greeks feared witches because these bitches, like, here's the thing. Sorry, the clergy, the religious priests or whatever, they're there to make money. Right. You go there to make money. So what happens when people aren't visiting these temples? Oh, you don't have to visit the temple of Zeus because you can just go in the woods and get your shit from the witch? Well, then that witch is trouble because she is taking time away from the religion.
Exactly.
So it's not a Christianity thing. It is the witch has their own power.
Exactly.
So that is why, yes, the witches can they are in league with deities. They work with deities. They can bring the attention of deities. But it is not that they absolutely need to.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not your sole source.
It is not our sole source. So I think that is something that is important too. And just going back to cultural appropriation, it's like I really think that we need to end this idea of gatekeeping. I'm going to be completely honest. I am too lazy. Like, it's none of my business. If you want to work with Sage, if you want to work with Santa Muerte, if you want to whatever, that is on you. I think what happens is it's social media. So, yes, honestly, you know, Sally from the Valley. Sally from the Valley, yes. If a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl posts pictures with Santa Muerte and she's like, hola, and, you know, whatever is burning, she is going to bring that attention to herself. And I think it's a two-parter. I think, not saying she deserves it, but she brings it on herself by bringing her practice to mainstream.
Exactly. It'll catch up to you at some point.
It will. But
well,
there's also...
I don't share my practice online.
Same.
Exactly.
It is a private thing.
It's like going into the confessional in a Catholic church and then going online and going, this is exactly what
my
confess.
Facebook status. And this
is
what the priest told
husband.
Me.
Right.
No, it is exactly that. And I will say, like, you know, I use my Instagram, I use my social media to share and educate my practice. But at the same time, too, I'm not going to film my rituals.
Right.
Exactly. You see me with my little mask, but I never show a video of me dancing, doing the shit that I do.
Yeah.
Because I do some crazy shit, and it's my private space, and it's no one's fucking business.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel that connection, and this is what I've been taught, and I truly feel, if you feel that connection, no one should take that away from you.
Precise.
Whatever culture you are. If you, like, you know what I love? How many black people work with Norse deities?
Oh, yeah.
No one can tell them what to do. Angelique. Ashton. Yeah. If you come into the shop, who, like, I probably would cut down anyone or kick their ass if anyone tried to tell you because of your skin color.
You
cannot practice, especially if they feel
except
this
for
connection.
All those dicks that decided to take all that Norse info and fucking turn it into
white supremacy.
Exactly.
Fuck, yes.
They'll burn.
That's for you.
Yes.
Fuck you. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yes, we do not condone white supremacy. But, and like, I don't work with the Norse Pantheon. I know you do, Jessica.
Odin. is one of my biggest.
And but it's like it really is hard, and it's like, you know, I've even, this is the craziest, I've even had people tell me that I cannot work with Greek deities because that's cultural appropriation. And I was like, what? First of all, I don't know if you've been to Greece, but like, the Greeks really do not care about, like, Greece was the one place.
That's always the thing, though. Yes. It's never who you're, I'm quoting, appropriating.
Yes.
That is going to tell you you're appropriating.
It's always the person who doesn't practice that.
It's Sally from the Valley.
It's Sally from the Valley.
It's always Sally from the Valley.
You know what's going to happen? We're going to get an email.
From Sally from the Valley.
And she's going to be like, listen, I'm very offended.
It's like, how do you guys know me in the first place?
How do you know me?
Where do you know me from?
And sorry, you know Sally. She runs the shop White Witch Co.
Oh.
We're sorry, Sally. We're sorry.
Sorry, Sally.
I'm not. I'm not Sally. You need to fucking shut your shop down.
If you are the Sally from the Valley doing this, knock it the fuck off. Stay in your lane.
Yeah, go work at Olive Garden.
You know, yes. I mean, like, we don't need the woke warriors.
Yeah.
That are all white, by the way.
Always.
Have you noticed a lot of times is, and I'm not going to call out names, even though I'm a bit of an instigator, I'm not going to call out names right now. A lot of the biggest names of Instagram witches are white people, and they're the ones telling you what appropriation is or not.
Yes,
and I'm always like, why aren't you getting people of color telling you what it
absolutely.
Is?
Absolutely. Do you remember
because
we
I've
did
had
our American
conversations with plenty of people of different practices?
Yes.
And I would like to know. I want to make sure I'm never appropriating anything because that's not my goal here.
Exactly.
Anything I use, it's because I appreciate it. I feel a connection with it.
Yes.
Exactly.
Whether it be Bruhari, if it be Native American traditions, which I've talked to my uncle about, whether it be Santeria or Voodoo, New Orleans Voodoo. I want to know it. I want to learn it. If it fits with me, if I connect with it, then I will use it. If it does not, I will still honor it because it's a beautiful practice that people are using. But stop gatekeeping people and telling them they can't. That, I think, is overall our biggest problem in society right now is trying to tell people how they're supposed to be. No,
exactly.
Stay in your fucking lane and do your own shit.
Right. If it doesn't work with you, it doesn't work with you. But who am I to say
exactly what
it does and what
it
doesn't
work
through? You know, it just, it drives me crazy. And I think just like finishing up, you know, one of the things that,
like, I'm gonna pee real bad.
Yeah. And I'm hungry.
And I'm hungry.
And just as I like finish up, I think one of the things too, it's like, do, if there's any words of wisdom, do the research.
Yes.
Do the research, do the work. And I will say, too, real quick, Queen Ko, okay? She is from Alabama. She's fourth generation hoodoo queen. She's black. She is awesome, okay? She teaches classes on hoodoo. She did one for our shop. And one of the things that she said that I thought was amazing was, like, why would I teach a class if I didn't think that this was... Oh, like,
open.
She would say,
exactly.
Black people only.
Right.
You know, like... Come on.
Well, but then you just do the flip side and Bloody Mary.
Yes. Absolutely.
Voodoo queen.
Queen.
From New Orleans.
New Orleans. Third generation. White as white can be. Mm-hmm. But she was born in Louisiana and that's all she's known.
It's what she was raised.
You know, you can't tell her, oh, you're white. You can't practice it. She was born in Louisiana. She's a voodoo queen.
Yeah.
So we're going to pull one card real quick. Jessica, I'll let you do the honors.
Okay.
This will be the card to reflect on for the week. The Star. So, this is the card of hope.
Yes.
Okay? Be hopeful about the... I would say be optimistic about the week.
Mm-hmm.
I think there, if there's something that you want, I see that wish being fulfilled and granted. And I would just say, you know, honor your traditions and you know, take a look at your roots and you know, remember that word bioregionalism. Like, look at the practice of where you are and where you live. Jessica, where can people find you?
On Instagram at Mystic Mama.
Woohoo. And it's a French way, so M-A-M-A-N. And she also runs Three Crows, so follow Three Crows Crossroads.
On Instagram with the letter 3.
Yep. And Francisco, where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram at The Wicked Witch of LA, and you can also follow my Etsy shop, The Wicked Path.
Ooh, and Francisco does readings here on Tuesdays and Saturdays at the Old World Emporium. And I am Mystic Dylan. You can follow me at Mystic Dylan Official. And you can also follow the shop, the Old World Emporium, old with an E. And we hope to see you soon. And if you can like or subscribe or leave a comment, that really helps. Mm-hmm. I know it's been a minute, but we will see you next week for another episode. And remember, life's a witch,
and so are you.